angels waging war in the unseen realm. Global events fulfilling biblical prophecy. Eternal life. What lies beyond mortality? From analyzing the paranormal from a biblical worldview to the discussion of cutting-edge science and technology, conspiracy, discovery, special investigative reports. Unafraid to explore the challenging issues facing humanity, welcome to another edition of Skywatch TV.
As we approach the end of this eon, this era of human history, we have an opportunity for you to see the place where it is all going to end. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining me, one of the hosts of the Skywatch TV Wars of the Gods Tour of Israel in 2019. Sharon and I, proud to be the hosts, but prouder still to be co-hosting this tour with our guest, the best-selling author of Gods of Ground Zero and Gods and Thrones, Pastor Carl Gallops. Carl, welcome.
Thank you, Derek. It's a pleasure to be with you.
We enjoy spending time with you whenever you're here in the Ozarks or wherever we see you in conferences, but we're going to get an opportunity for Sharon and our colleagues here at Skywatch TV, Justin Fall and Wes Fall, and our friend in Tel Aviv, Rabbi Zev Parat, his lovely wife Lynn, and essentially do a little rolling conference across Israel.
Yes, we are, and I'm certainly looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
Your book is very timely in that regard, Gods of Ground Zero, because as you make the case in the book and make it very well that this is the original Ground Zero in this long supernatural war between these rebel gods who rejected the authority of their creator.
Yes.
And we'll be right there.
Well, you know, and you started by saying the place where it all ends. And I would add to that the place where it began, the place where man's rule and reign ends, and the place where it all begins again. Revelation 21 and 22, and I saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. What was there? The throne of God, the throne of the Lamb, the river of life, the tree of life. Well, it's describing the Garden of Eden. So it's the restoration of the Garden of Eden. Where was it in the first place? In Jerusalem. How do I know that? Because God says it in the Old Testament. The prophets say it in the Old Testament. Jesus says it in the New Testament. The writers of the New Testament say it. Even archaeology is beginning to show us that that's the truth. On the Temple Mount, the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim Dome of the Rock, has plaques and cornerstones that have Arabic inscriptions, and I'm just paraphrasing, but basically says, this is the place of the Garden of Eden. The stone upon the center stone, the foundation stone upon which the Temple Mount was, I mean, the temple, the original temple was built where the Ark of the Covenant rested, that the ancient Jews, in their ancient history, they write that that was the foundation stone of the planet Earth, the place where God started it all, the Garden of Eden. So the Jews say that Jerusalem's the Garden of Eden. The Dome of the Rock says that's where the Garden of Eden was. As I said, God says in the Old Testament, I've got all of this in my book, Gods of Ground Zero, and I've got it all documented by scholars, and I connect the biblical dots and the study of the Hebrew language and the Greek language from the translation of New Testament proclamations and assertions that are made, and it's all there. So the bottom line is, yes, the whole Bible, the whole biblical message, the whole biblical message, of course, chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis, the creation, and Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden are there, but then chapter 3 tells the account of the fall and the evil one, Satan, the one that comes to kill, steal, destroy, the one that Jesus says was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. Well, what did he do in the garden? He lied, and he brought death and destruction to everything, and he murdered. So right there. Now, once that happens, just a few chapters later is Genesis 6, and the sons of God came unto the daughters of men. And then evil and giants and Nephilim, and then evil, and God says, every vain imagination of thought is evil. I will destroy it. Then the Noah's flood. So all of that kind of cropped out, of course, out of what happened originally in the garden. Tower of Babel, the separating of the nations. By the way, God is a God of borders.
Mm-hmm.
and nations.
You know, I noticed that when he had Nehemiah, he back to Jerusalem, he said, go ahead and build up that wall.
Yeah, build the wall. Go ahead, build the wall. Yeah, so the point being that we've turned the Garden of Eden into a children's bedtime story,
yeah,
into a cartoon book.
Yes.
Of a snake wrapped around a tree giving a woman an apple. And there are the tree and the fruit that they're eating, that's a metaphor. The rest of the Bible says that the serpent is a metaphor for Satan. The Bible literally says that. God says it in the Old Testament. Jesus says it in the New Testament. And in the book of Revelation, given to John from the throne of Jesus Christ, Revelation 12 speaks of that dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil, mm-hmm, or Satan. Mm-hmm. Revelation 20 repeats that same line. So we're told that the Garden of Eden account is written with metaphors. I say with metaphors, not as a metaphor, because the Garden of Eden is real.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve were real. The fall was real. The devastation was real. The judgment that came after it was real. The prophecy that God gave, from the womb of a woman will come a seed that will crush your head, that was real. Satan knows it's real. So the whole point is, from that point forward, the whole rest of the Bible is about the restoring of the restitution of all things, beginning in the place where God says, I put my name. Where did he put his name? Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Where did Jesus go the last week of his life? Jerusalem. What did he do there? He went to a cross there. First, he went up to the temple there, spent the week there. Then he went to the cross. Then he was resurrected from the grave. Where? Jerusalem. And then he spent 40 days ministering in that area, revealing himself to the disciples. Then he ascended from heaven. From where? Jerusalem. From where? Mount of Olives. Where's he coming back? Jerusalem. Where's he landing? Mount of Olives. Old Testament says that. New Testament says that. What's going to happen in Jerusalem? The nations will be judged. Paul says, know you not that you will judge angels with him. The angels, the fallen ones, the ones held in darkness and chains, will be judged. Where? From Jerusalem. It says that in the Old Testament. It says that in the New Testament. Satan will be judged. From where? Jerusalem. The Bible says that. The great white throne of judgment. Where's that going to be? Jerusalem. I mean, everything is centered there, because that's where it all happened. That's where the fall, that's what God's restoring. And then at the restitution of all things, the last two chapters said, then I saw the new Jerusalem coming, mm-hmm, down out of heaven. Now, that's a way of saying thousands of years ago what we now know more scientifically, if you will, as being the veil is open to reality, to another dimension. The book of Hebrews says 3 or 4 or 5 times that what is behind the veil, what is in Jerusalem, what is on that Temple Mount, is merely a copy of the real thing that exists behind and always has existed behind. And so the book of Revelation speaks of in the last days that the sky will be rolled up like a scroll. The Old Testament says that 2 or 3 times. The New Testament says that. Book of Revelation says that. What does that mean? The stars will disappear. The sky will be just rolled back. Why? We're going to see what is on the above the surface of the ocean. We're going to see what's on the other side, what has been there all along, and it's all going to be centered on Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem we will see is, mm-hmm, the Garden of Eden that has always been there, that the cherubim will let down the veil, the river of life has always been there, the throne of the Lamb has always been there, the tree of life, Revelation 22 says, and what was there? The tree of life. Mm-hmm. It has always been there. And so that's the message of the Word, the whole Word of God. It's why Jesus had to come. It's why Jesus had to go to the cross. It's why he had to rise from the grave. Why? Reclaiming the Garden of Eden and restoring our divine nature. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, that in that day, that the whole purpose of this is that our divine nature, we would participate in it once again. What does that mean? That we will be like gods? No. Divine nature means we'll be like Adam and Eve from the beginning. Revelation 21 says it like this: no more pain, no more death, no more crying. Mm-hmm. The old order of things has passed away. The new has come. Everything has now been restored. You're back in the garden. And so we're going to take this trip to Israel. We're going to focus on all of these areas that lend itself to the biblical message, but we're really going to focus on Jerusalem, because that's where it all began. That's where it's all going to culminate, and that's where it's all going to begin again. That's what the whole Word of God is about. That's what the whole gospel message was born out of, God restoring what Satan destroyed and took.
Hmm. Now, just imagine getting that kind of teaching where Carl can actually say, and it's going to happen like right over there.
Yeah.
right down there. That's what this is all going to happen. That's what you'll get on this tour coming in May 12th through 23rd, 2019. We'll tell you how you can take part in just a few minutes. You mentioned something I want you to explore a little deeper here because I think this is really cool. You talk about a previous trip to Israel.
Yeah, I think I know where you're going.
where you showed something to your tour guide that he was not aware of. You talk about God putting his name there in Jerusalem. Tell about that and how that's actually in the geography of the land.
Okay. Yeah, I spend several chapters in my book, Gods of Ground Zero, telling this. And again, I've known this to be so. It happened to me when I was in Israel, and I showed it to our tour guide, who was born and raised in Israel, speaks Hebrew first language. He agreed, yes, I've never seen this, but there it is. And then, of course, I bounced it off Zev Peratt, Messianic Zev Peratt, born and raised in Israel, my Hebrew friend there. And he says, absolutely, you're absolutely right. And others have found this. I wasn't the one to find this, but I have really preached and taught on it, expounded upon it, and put it in my book, Gods of Ground Zero, because God told the children of Israel when he brought them out, he says, I'm going to take you to a place where I have put my name. I can't quote the scripture right now, but I promise it's in the book, and I've got it quoted. But then several times in the Old Testament, not only to say the place where I have put my name, but then he shifts the tense. After he gets them there, he says, now here is Jerusalem, the place where I have put my name or where I'm going to put my name. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the God who was and is to come. So he put his name there. He has put his name there. His name is there, and he's going to put his name there. Mm-hmm. So what do we know about Jerusalem? Well, that's where God put his name. Why? Because that's where the Garden of Eden was.
Right.
He takes them there. Then the temple is there, and he tells Solomon, now my name will be here forever. Mm-hmm. Here is where you'll be. All right. Then I'm going to put my name. How did he do that? The most profound way? Jesus Christ, Calvary's cross, mm-hmm. the resurrection, the name of God, the word that has become flesh from right there. But what you're talking about is this. So on my first trip to Israel, and let's see, I think it's 1997, 1998, somewhere right in there. I was there, and we were up on the Mount of Olives looking at the overlook, the Jerusalem overlook, mm-hmm. a tour bus, 40, 50 people from all over Europe and few from the United States. And the tour guide, Dan Marone, good friend of mine now, he was in the Israeli IDF and as an officer and has been with Israeli tour services for a long time. He's standing up there with a map, and he's showing the map of Jerusalem, and he's pointing, says, there's the Temple Mount. Here it is on the map, and he's just trying to get everybody adjusted geographically to how the layout is, because the next day we were going to go down and walk through the streets, and we were going to be there. But that night, as before the sun's going down, it's just beautiful, picturesque. You know, you can hear the sounds coming from the city, smell the smells, see that he's got the map, he's showing everything. And I had made friends with him by this point in our tour. We'd been together for many days. So I waited till he finished to an opportune time, and I said, Dan, I said, may I show you something? I said, I think you're going to like this. And he trusted me. He said, well, sure, Carl. And I said, hold the map up, and he did. Everybody's standing there. And I said, now, I'm just going to point to something. I'm going to draw something here on your map with my finger, and I want you to tell me what you see. So Jerusalem is encompassed by three valleys, mm-hmm. the Kidron Valley, the Tyropian Valley, and the Hinnom Valley. Kidron Valley comes down from north to south. They all connect at the bottom. Tyropian runs kind of right up through the middle, to the west of Mount Zion. And then the Hinnom Valley is on the westernmost outside.
Right.
Okay, so he's got the map up. I put my hand up at the top of the Kidron Valley, and I start coming down. I come down to the bottom, and then I go up the Tyropian Valley, and I come back down. And then I come back up the Hinnom Valley, and I said, what do you see? These were his words. I don't use this phrase in my daily life, but he said, oh, my God. And he was just like overwhelmed. I said, what do you see? He said, it's the letter Shin.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet. He said, that one letter represents the name of God. It's on every mezuzah, you know, the little prayer scripture box that's
that
on,
they
the
hang on the doorpost.
He says, it's the letter Shin. He says, the valleys make the letter. That's the name of God. He says, it is literally on our city. And I said, yes. He says, I've never seen this before. He says, it's been right here in front of my face. He said, I will share this with everybody from now on. And so the point is, as I tell him, I said, but wait, it gets even better, brother. I said, you know, in the Gospels where it talks about Jesus coming in for the last day, for the last week, he comes in through the Eastern Gate. And the people are lying there, thousands and thousands of people, and they're, you know, putting the palm fronds down, and they're saying, you know, Hosanna to the Son of David in messianic terms. The Pharisees go, and they say, you tell your disciples to be quiet. And actually, they said, shut up.
Uh-huh.
This is blasphemy. Remember when Jesus said?
Even the rocks will cry out.
He said, if you tell them shut up, even the rocks will cry out my name. His name's been there from the beginning. You know what I look at? I look at that, since that's where it all began. I almost, and I don't mean this in any disparaging way, I look at this with a heart filled with just awe and love. I look at God almost like a little child. He's creating this masterpiece that even the angels were just rejoicing. I mean, Satan was filled with jealousy. It was so beautiful. And he is like a child. He carved his initials after he was finished.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he tells his children later, I'm going to take you to the place where I carve my initials in the mountains. I have put my name there. I will put my name there with the temple, and I will really put my name there when I put on flesh and the word becomes flesh and I pay for your salvation.
Amen.
Where was all of that happen? In Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Why? Because that was the beginning point of it all.
Yeah. Well, like I said, this is the kind of teaching you'll get on the Skywatch TV Wars of the Gods Tour of Israel in May. We'll tell you how you can take part and join us as part of this gathering. Don't miss this. And our conversation will continue with Pastor Carl Gallops right after this.
Cutting-edge analysis of end times prophecy on the very ground where it all unfolds. It's the Skywatch TV Wars of the Gods Tour of Israel, May 12th through 23rd, 2019, hosted by Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Pastor Carl Gallops, best-selling author of Gods and Thrones and Gods of Ground Zero, Messianic Rabbi Zev Perot of Messiah of Israel Ministries, and filmmakers Justin and Wes Fall, producers of the Hollow Earth Chronicles. This is a once-in-a-lifetime tour of the Holy Land from Mount Hermon to the Dead Sea. You'll walk in Jesus' footsteps on the battlegrounds of the supernatural war with preaching and teaching along the way. Shiloh, Bethel, Mount Carmel, Nazareth, the Jordan River, the Mount of Olives, Sea of Galilee, the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jerusalem, where the final battle will be fought for God's Mount of Assembly, Zion. The Skywatch TV Wars of the Gods Tour of Israel. Reserve your place now. For information and registration, log on to LipkinTours.com. That's LipkinTours.com.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. Sharon and I are just looking so much forward to spending that 10 days in Israel with you, Zev Perot, his
Thanks.
Lovely wife Lynn, even Justin Fall and West Fall. We'll tolerate those guys.
Yeah. No, they're lovely guys.
Again, please take advantage of this tour, because not only are we're going there to obviously share what we have learned through our studies about the land. And I've got some really cool stuff about Bethel and Tel Dan and the golden calves of Jeroboam. There's some stuff in the scripture that I've learned here in the last couple of months that I'm waiting
good.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting? It's always exciting to learn stuff. You can't wait to
is.
Share it.
Yeah, it's making me want to study Hebrew now, because if I could actually read the Hebrew, I'd probably catch this a lot faster than I have been. But while we're there, you know, you and Zev will be together, and the two of you collaborated on a forthcoming project. We'll just sort of tease right now the title of the forthcoming book, which will be out in the spring, The Rabbi, the Secret Message, and the Identity of Messiah. This will coincide with a project that we can't tell you about yet. It's a secret yet, but we'll be doing some work on the ground there as well with Justin and Wes, the filmmakers behind the recent documentary, Belly of the Beast. So we've got film crew coming with us on this tour.
Yes.
To do some background work and to document the trip. This time that we'll be there, this will be the culmination. We'll be finishing the 70th year of Israel's independence, because we'll be there over the 14th of May, which was the day that Israel declared its independence, 1948. Not to revisit an old topic, but this is the culmination of Bible prophecy, and you've said many times that we're living in the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus.
Yes.
What does this mean to you to be able to go back to Israel in this 70th year?
It means so much to me. There's more than I have time to tell. When my wife and I took our first trip there, first of all, it changed my preaching and teaching. And what I mean by that, it added flavor to it, because now I'd been there, I'd smelled the smells. I see, and you know, we went there, I mean, 20 something years ago. It's changed a lot in 20 years, but it's still amazing. But one of the things I did, I went to the Kotel, the Western Wall, and I tell this in one of my books, Past, and I've told it to my church, so I want your audience to know this is going to sound pretty incredulous. I'm not just making this up on the spot here, because you just asked me, what does it mean to me? Not only is it the end of the 70th year, I can't believe that I'm living in the 70th year of Israel's return, mm-hmm. that I've actually lived through the return of Jerusalem to Israel, another prophetic event, that I'm living in all these prophetic things happening around me. That's astounding. But when I was there 20 years ago, went to the Kotel, and I took a little piece of paper and pencil with me, and I wrote a little prayer and stuck it in a crack. Like a lot of people do, you know, tourist thing to do. But of course, but the Jews take that very seriously, the yes. Orthodox do. But I took it very seriously, and I just poured out my heart, and I prayed. And I stuck that thing in the wall, and I said, I don't know how you're going to do it, but if you could use me to get the gospel message to this land somehow, to God's people. And I said, yeah, and I can't remember my exact words, but I just poured out my heart to the Lord, and I just said, Lord, use me. I stuck it in the crack. Now, I've authored two books, the only two books in the world on this topic, because the Orthodox Jewish movement really holds it back.
And this is the revelation of Rabbi Kaduri.
The revelation of Rabbi Kaduri, Zev Peratt, the connection there, all the connections I've made in Israel. Now I'm going back. Everything that's happened, this gospel going around, Lord, Jews are being saved. Oh, my gosh, it overwhelms me to think about. Now I'm going back at the close of the 70th year, and we're going to do all of this teaching and preaching with these precious people. Then we're going to make these movies, and I'm just overwhelmed by it. I just have to stop and think. I pinch myself and say, is this really real? It's like living in some kind of a dream or something, and that God would use me for anything, much less that he would answer a prayer that I stuck in a wall 20 years ago. And he would answer it in such a physical, profound way. I mean, 20 years ago, I was pastoring. We didn't have internet back then. I mean, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was just pastoring a little country church. Of course, the area's grown now, and the church is not just a little country church anymore, but it was then. And I used to be a cop, pastoring a little country church, and I'm sticking a note in the wall saying, I want you to use me somehow to bring the gospel alive here. Little did I know how that would be done. And so what does this mean to me, Derek? It's overwhelming to me. I have to pinch myself sometimes to see if this is, you know, is this really for real? But I'm going to go back to the place where I penned out a note and stuck it in a wall. And the prayer was sincere. And my sticking that in the wall was sincere. It was not a tourist thing to me. I was very sincere, stuck in the wall, and said, Lord, could you please use me somehow to bring the gospel alive to this land and to these people? I would have never dreamed how God would do that or that he would do it. I mean, again, from being a preacher of a little country church back then, 20 years ago, and a former cop standing at the Western Wall in downtown Jerusalem, just overwhelmed by everything and daring to ask God somehow to use me in the latter days, and here 20 years later, two books that have come out on that very topic, and now going back there to once again connect with that land, is just, it's overwhelming to me, and I praise God for it.
We just have a few minutes left here, but I understand from the CEO of Lipkin Tours, Aaron Lipkin, that you and Avi Lipkin
had some
history there.
We
and
do.
They were very excited to hear that you had agreed to come along on this tour because of the friendship that you and Avi have.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I've had him on my radio program several times. He's actually spoken in my church. He did a conference, a seminar, one Saturday evening, I think, or Friday evening, or Sunday evening. I don't remember. It was on the weekend, but on one evening, and the place was packed out. We advertised it on the radio, and people came from everywhere, and he's quite an amazing fellow with some amazing revelations of his own. And his son, I've never met his son, but I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. Well, Avi addressed our group last year, and so I would be surprised if Avi's available if he doesn't get a chance to
That'd
speak to our group again. But his son, Aaron, is he's like me. He's kind of an archaeology nerd.
Yeah.
And he's produced a number of DVDs using drone high-definition drone footage to show some of the sites, the archaeological sites that have been uncovered here just within the last couple of decades in Israel, including on Mount Ebal, where archaeologists believe they found the altar of Joshua.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And we're trying to make that part of the tour this year. I think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, I know that overlooks Nablus, and so, you know, there's some concerns, but the IDF has worked that out. A lot of tourists will go up there, and so we'll have an opportunity to see the altar of Joshua. We will see Bethel. We will see Shiloh, where the tabernacle stood for several centuries before moving to Jerusalem. And then, of course, the Jordan River.
Yeah.
Now, you're an old pro at baptizing.
Yeah.
I had my first opportunity to do it this past May, so now I've got some practice. I'll get a chance to do it again.
That's great.
But we're looking forward to it. And, again, we look forward to having you join us there because this is really a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It certainly was a change.
I'm looking forward
life-changing for Sharon and me as well. This is my first time out of the country, in fact, this past May. And so, again, your opportunity to join us May 12th through 23rd. If you can spend a few extra days, we will go over to Jordan, and in Jordan we will see Mount Nebo, where Moses got his view of the Holy Land. We'll also see the prophetic view that Ezekiel described of the Valley of the Travelers, which is a key, where the War of Gog and Magog will conclude. We'll also see Petra, which is an amazing thing in and of itself, just from the historical perspective there. Seeing Petra is, it's indescribable. You can't really do it justice. Verbally, even what you see on a television screen is not going to do Petra justice when you're surrounded by that amazing architecture.
Yeah.
And, of course, the desert of Jordan, where the Israelites wandered for 40 years. You want to talk about getting a visual demonstration of what kind of faith it took to follow the call of God. Take a look at that desert and then imagine spending 40 years in that. For information and to reserve your place, LipkinTours.com is the website, or follow the link at the website, SkywatchTV.com, May 12th through 23rd. The Skywatch TV Wars of the Gods Tour of Israel. Pastor Carl Gallups, one of our
one of our
hosts, and we hope to see you there. And we thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is Skywatch TV.